Gamsa Haneda. Len Wilson back again. And tonight, or this afternoon, I am going to talk to you about the Republic of Korea, or as we commonly know it, South Korea. I visited South Korea in 2009. I was so lucky, I got a free trip. I applied for an Australasian educators delegation, and I got selected. So in this delegation of Australasian educators, which were mostly secondary and primary school teachers, there were about 20 Australians and five of us Kiwis. So I got a free trip, but what I did was, being a free independent traveller, I went to Seoul, the capital, 5 days early so I could wander the streets and then join the delegation and take it from there. So now I'm that. So Gamsa Hamada is a way of greeting someone in Korea, and I'm now going to get some music played to you, which you'll probably recognise.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. 성숙해 보이지만 볼 땐 노는 여자. 이때다 싶으면 묶었던 머리 푸는 여자. 가렸지만 웬만한 노출보다 야한 여자. 그런 감각적인 여자. 나는 선어해. 점잖아 보이지만 놀 땐 노는 선어해. 내가 되면 완전 미쳐버리는 선어해. 근육보다 사상이 울퉁불퉁한 선어해. 그런 선어해. 아름다워 사랑스러워 그래 너 그래 바로 너 아름다워 사랑스러워 그래 너 그래 바로 너 지금부터 갈 때까지 가볼까 오빤 강남 스타일 오빤 강남 스타일 강남 스타일 낮에는 따사로운 인간적인 여자 커피 한 잔에 여유를 아는 품격 있는 여자 밤이 오면 심장이 뜨거워지는 여자 그런 반전 있는 여자 너는 선어해 낮에는 너만큼 따사로운 그런 선어해 커피 식기도 전에 원샷 때리는 선어해 밤이 오면 심장이 터져버리는 선어해 그런 선어해 아름다워 사랑스러워 오빤 강남 스타일 강남 스타일 오빤 강남 스타일 강남 스타일 오빤 강남 스타일 노는 여자 이때다 싶으면 묶었던 머리 푸는 여자 가렸지만 웬만한 노출보다 야한 여자 그런 감각적인 여자 너는 선어해 점잖아 보이지만 놀 때 노는 선어해 내가 되면 완전 미쳐버리는 선어해 근육보다 사상이 울퉁불퉁한 선어해 그런 선어해 아름다워 사랑스러워
오빤 강남 스타일. 강남 스타일. 오빤 강남 스타일. 강남 스타일. 오빤 강남 스타일. 나는 뭘 좀 아는 놈 뛰는 놈 그 위에 나는 놈 baby baby 나는 뭘 좀 아는 놈 What I'm saying 오빤 강남 스타일
소리 질러
Sexy lady 오빤 강남 스타일
Sexy lady
오빤 강남 스타일.
Well, I hope you liked that. Oman Gummum style. Now, it's better if you watch the video because you can actually see the guy in his blue suit and his black trousers dancing, and he is surrounded by sexy ladies, and that's what it's all about. I was trying to find some music to play you for South Korea, and I kept coming up with K-pop. So it's very popular. They find the most attractive girls you can imagine and dress them up in next to nothing, and they sing and dance, and everybody loves it. And I also came up with some Korean folk music, and I thought, well, I'll have a bit of fun, and I'll play Oman Gummun style. So I hope you liked it. Now, as I said at the beginning, I went to South Korea in 2009 as part of an Australasian educators delegation. I was there for about 2 weeks on the delegation, and I went about 5 days early because I'm a free independent traveller. And having seen South Korea and learnt about South Korea, I made up my mind to go to North Korea. So the following year, I went to North Korea. So I can say I've been to both Koreas, and South Koreans can't do that, or nor can North Koreans, lest they escape across the demilitarised zone. But the South Koreans, when I tell them I've been to North Korea, they're very impressed. They say, well, we can't go there. Now, this trip was sponsored by the Korean Foundation. So Korea is a very modern, wealthy and sophisticated country. They've rebuilt themselves from the ashes of the Korean War, 1950 to 53. And they've done a damn good job of it. So they've got a real positive attitude in Korea. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. I'm reading this from my book. But the founding father, Chung Ju-wong, of South Korea, he said human potential is unlimited and promises everyone boundless possibilities. And I think that kind of sums up the positive attitude that the people of South Korea have, and they managed to rebuild their country. In 1953, South Korea and North Korea were just in ruins. They'd had a devastating war. The South had been overrun by the North. Then the Americans had driven the Northerners out. The Chinese had joined in on the side of the North. North got bombed flat by the Americans. The Americans only stopped bombing when they ran out of targets. It was a nasty, bitter war between the two Koreas with American and Chinese involvement. And it led to the death of 3 million people. So it's very serious. And one of the things that our delegation did when we were in South Korea is we visited the War Memorial Museum. And they made a special effort, the Koreans made a special effort to show us the exhibits that commemorated the involvement of Australian and New Zealand troops in the Korean War. Because if you know your history, and I say that in every program, don't I? So you'd better start swatting it up. Well, if you know your history, you'll know that New Zealand and Australia both got involved in the Korean War because the Americans did their intervention in Korea under the banner of the United Nations. And so New Zealand and Australia contributed. And I think about 30 New Zealanders died in the Korean War. And there was a memorial to all the countries that had been involved. And the Korean Foundation, who hosted my delegation, made sure that we got to see it. Now, In South Korea, as I was to learn, courtesy is a way of life. Now, isn't that something? Courtesy is a way of life. Now, the rest of us could take a lesson from that. And I saw the Korean courtesy way everywhere I went. The people were so polite and helpful, and I felt like it was couldn't be safer. I told you how I arrived a few days early. Well, what I did was I got a metro ticket and I explored Seoul, the capital, and I went to the Seoul Tower. So from Seoul Tower, good way to start a visit to the capital. By the way, Seoul has 10 million people, and they are terrified that there might be a military strike from the north because the north is armed and dangerous, and they'd only have about less than half an hour warning. Because Seoul is only about 50 kilometres from the demilitarised zone that separates the two Koreas. So they don't have much time to get ready if the North should launch an attack. So anyway, I went to the Seoul Tower and I got to take in a view of the whole city and get an idea of how it is laid out. Now, during our delegation visit, we would begin each day with lectures at the Seoul University. And these lectures cover topics like Korean history, the Korean education system, Korean culture, Korean decorum, customs, Korean politics, and demography. Now, demography is very interesting because, like Russia, South Korea has very serious population decline. The statistics are incredible. They say that at the moment, South Korea has a population of around about 50 million, and it's falling fast. And they're saying that in about 100 years' time, they may only have a population of about 7 million. Can you imagine that? What a drop, 50 million to 7 million in a century, if current trends continue. And I've got a friend who is in South Korea. She's Korean, and she just got married. And she sent me an email the other day, and she said she has no intention of having children. So I thought, there you go, you see. Now, when you give a gift in Korea, you give it with two hands, all right, and you bow at the same time. And the other thing you do, and I had to get these made specially, exchange your business cards. So when you meet someone, and Korean people usually dress formally too, so when you meet someone, you bow to each other and you exchange business cards. And if you give a gift, you give it with two hands. We were taken to see the teaching of English at a language school. It was called the Dae-il Foreign Language High School. And there we got to actually teach. So I got to teach a class. So I thought, oh, I'll be smart and I'll teach them about New Zealand. But they had already studied about New Zealand. So there wasn't much I could tell them. And they started asking me all sorts of difficult questions. And I thought, good God, they're so well prepared because they were expecting us. And each one of us in the delegation, we had a Korean student designated to look after us. And I had a girl called Agnes, all right? And Agnes got to take me around the school, look after me all day, and then take me home to her mother for dinner that night. And that's when I found out how things work in South Korea. So you wait till you hear about this. Agnes goes to Dae-il Foreign Language High School, which is one of the most prestigious schools in Seoul. And it costs her parents a fortune. She's the only child. And her father is working in another part of Korea in a factory to earn the money to pay for her education and to pay for an apartment that Agnes and her mum live in near the school. He's also got to pay for the car that mum chauffeurs Agnes to school in. And he's got to pay for the food and accommodation for the two of them. Then he's got to look out for himself as well. And Agnes gets to see her dad once a month, which she always looks forward to. Now, Agnes goes to school. This is quite typical. Agnes goes to school at 7:30 a.m. and stays there until 6 p.m. and the school provides the meal. That's not the end of it, because at 6 p.m. the students get to clean the classroom, And then they leave, and some of the parents, and Agnes was one of them, her mother does this, her mother paid for her to go to cramming classes after school. And these are called hagwons, and they're after-school cramming classes where you get extra tutorials. So there she is. She starts school at 7:30, goes till 6 p.m., eats at the school, and then she goes off to hagwons and continues her education until 10 p.m. And then she goes home and gets up the next day and does this 6 days a week. And when I was in Korea, I told them a little bit about schools in New Zealand, and they kind of looked at me and thought, are you serious? In Korea, teachers will enter the classroom from a different door than the students. How about that? I started to think, why are the classrooms got two doors? Yeah, well, the students come in one door, and they stand and bow to the teacher, and they sit down when they're told. To ask a question, they put up their hand, and they stand to ask the question, and they sit down when they're told. And when you're out in the grounds, you got to be concentrating on this. I hope you're listening. When you're out, when the teacher is out on the grounds, students must not step on the teacher's shadow. How about that? So I told my students about that back in Auckland, and they thought that was hilarious. So they were all running around behind me, jumping on my shadow for the rest of the day. That they forgot, you know, they soon forget. So what did I think of... and Agnes, going back to Agnes... she also has, on a day off, she got one day off a week. On the day off, she has piano lessons and does homework. So her life is just school, school, school. So I kind of thought it was all a bit over the top. And in the classroom, I got the feeling it was largely rote learning. So what happens is the students memorize what the teacher is telling them. And they go onto websites, they do a lot of research. So they do develop research skills. But a lot of it is remembering things. And then they have old-fashioned exams where they are given a question and they have to write down as much as they can remember. And people gather outside the schools and cheer them on and, you know, throw sweets at them and wish them good luck. And planes are rerouted away from schools so that they don't disturb the students when they're sitting their exams. So education is so important. Now, I went to the demilitarized zone. Now, the demilitarized zone separates South and North Korea, and it's the ceasefire line from the ending of the Korean War in 1953. Now, it's 4 kilometers wide, and 2 kilometers is in the south side, 2 kilometers in the north side. And there's a building where the two north and south meet, and it's a place called Panmunjom. So I went to Panmunjom, and I was on my own, and I've been there 3 times, actually. I've been there once on my own, once with the educators delegation, and I went once from the north side the following year. So I've been to Panmunjom 3 times. When I went on my own, I went with the American Army tour, and we had this nasty guy who was a bit like Rambo. You know, you can see what he looks like, hands on hips, chewing gum, swaggering around, giving orders. And he was barking commands at us, full of anti-North Korean rhetoric and full of silly little rules. You know, it was like, don't take a photo here, but you can take a photo there. Don't smile at the North Koreans because they're all mad. They might attack us. If they all attack us, we'll hold hands and run away. Don't have a camera case. Don't make sudden moves. So I got told off because I had a camera case. He shouted, sir, at me. You have to take that back to the coach. So I took, like a naughty kid, I returned the camera case to the coach. And then when the educators arrived, we did the demilitarized zone a second time. And then the following year, I did it from the north side. Now, when I went to the demilitarized zone from North Korea, I said to them, have you got any rules? And they said, what rules? And I said, well, last year I visited the demilitarized zone from the south side with the American Army coach, and they kind of looked at each other, and they said, yeah, well, what rules? And I said, well, he said, no camera cases, no umbrellas, no sudden moves, you're all mad, don't wave at you, don't smile, if you attack us, hold hands and run away. I said, that sort of stuff. They said, no, we don't have any rules, only one rule. I said, what's that? They said, well, see that door leading into South Korea from the north? I said, yeah, what about it? They said, well, don't go through there because Rambo's waiting on the other side and he's got a gun. So I didn't venture through that door. Now, we were also taken to the Darosan Railway Station, and this elaborate railway station has been built with the expectation that North and South Korea will one day be reunited, and then the demilitarized zone will be abolished, and trains will run all the way from Europe and come on down into the Korean Peninsula. So the railway station's all set up, ready to go, but there it was, railway station, railway tracks, seating, shops, and no one there. When Korea was a united country, you're all realising that there's two Koreas and it's divided by the demilitarised zone. When Korea was united, it was a kingdom. And we were taken to royal burial mounds one day, and we got to see the monuments that commemorate the royal family that ruled, I think, until about the First World War. And we were also taken to the Chandeok-gung Palace in South Korea. Now, it looked like it was hundreds of years old, but it was quite new, because the original Chandeok-gung Royal Palace had been destroyed by fire and completely rebuilt using photos and maps. So it was all back there and looking like it was hundreds of years old. Plenty to see and do in South Korea. Now, they also, in South Korea, they claim to have the world's oldest book, and it's called Jinkji. J-I-K-J-I. You might like to run off and Google that and see if it's true. It's said to be the world's oldest book. And we were taken to a publishing house where they had the first printing type in the world, and it was wooden. And then later they changed to metallic. And the South Koreans claim that they were the first to invent printing type and have the world's oldest book. Now, there are three religions in South Korea. It's not a very religious country at all, quite honestly. There's three religions. There is Confucianism, which was brought from the Chinese, and there's not very many adherents to Confucianism. There's Buddhism, which is quite strong, and there's Christianity. Now, Christianity is, and Buddhism are probably about equal in numbers, but a lot of Korean people are not religious at all. So religion doesn't really play a very big part. We were taken to a variety of cultural shows, and one of the biggest performances that we were taken to was called Miso, M-I-S-O, and there we got a performance of Korean song, music and dance, and it was a night to remember. The Koreans that hosted us, the Korean Foundation that hosted us, put a lot of thought into our meals because they wanted us to sample the whole range of Korean cuisine. So we were constantly eating, and we got to sample bibimbap and bulgogi. Those are the two that I remember. But I always enjoyed mealtimes because they would always treat us to something different. And what I found was they often, what they do is they load up the table out in the kitchen with maybe 100 little bowls of different types of food, and then two men will carry the table in to the dining room, and you sit on the floor around a little low table. And the table's actually, you know, you eat as much as you can, and then they carry the table out again. So how about that? We were also, and kimchi. It's like cabbage with chili sauce on it. I'm not that fond of kimchi, but it came with every meal. It's like it's always there. So lots to see and do in South Korea. We travelled. We went to the car factory. We went to a car factory and we saw cars being made on an assembly line production, and it was all highly robotized. So robots were making the cars and people were basically standing around and pressing buttons and watching. So Korea is one of the most advanced, one of the most technically advanced countries in the world. They aim to abolish currency, coins and banknotes, and all money will just, all transactions will be through direct debits to banks. So that's one of their things. And it's a highly computerized country. People are very computer suave there. And and it's also I didn't find it an expensive country to get around. And I, like I say, I found it incredibly safe. So good, positive attitude, hardworking, disciplined, focused, and a place that I came to thoroughly enjoy. One of these days I plan to go back to North Korea and South Korea. And the North Koreans, when you go there, they put nothing in your passport to say you've been there. And the South Koreans don't really care where you go. So that's it for South Korea. So I will say Annyeong Haseyo, which is their way of saying goodbye. I probably mispronounced it, and every Korean listening is laughing. But anyway, at least they had a go at it. And they're too polite to laugh when you say it to their face. You can buy this story about South Korea. I called it nothing. What did I call it? It's called No Place for Fun. And the story about South Korea is one of 40 stories in my second book called Solly, Mr. Len, which you can get direct from me, lwilson62@outlook.co.nz. And the story about South Korea is in there, along with a few pictures that I took while I was there. And just before I go, I got to dress up as a postman because we went to a culture show, and in the old times, Korean people used to have a special costume to wear according to their profession. And so they asked me what profession I'd like, and I said I'd be a postman. So I got to put on this blue outfit with a funny black hat and pass myself off as a postman. And another thing I've got to tell you before I go is that one of the national sports of South Korea is archery. So we got taken to an archery range, and they showed us how to use the bow and arrow. And I had the privilege of firing it backwards into the rest of the delegation, and they thought I was just joking, but that was seriously the way I do things. All right, so Annyeong Haseyo from Mr. Len, and I hope you're going to listen to my other six radio broadcasts about six more countries.
Oppa Gangnam Style, Gangnam Style. 성숙해 보이지만 놀 땐 노는 여자. 이때다 싶으면 묶었던 머리 푸는 여자. 가렸지만 웬만한 노출보다 야한 여자. 그런 감각적인 여자. 나는 선호해. 점잖아 보이지만 놀 땐 노는 선호해. 내가 되면 완전 미쳐버리는 선호해. 근육보다 사상이 울퉁불퉁한 선호해. 그런 선호해. 아름다워 사랑스러워 그래 너 hey. 그래 바로 너 hey. 아름다워 사랑스러워 그래 너 hey. 그래 바로 너 hey. 지금부터 갈 때까지 가볼까 오빤 강남 스타일 오빤 강남 스타일 강남 스타일 낮에는 따사로운 인간적인 여자 커피 한 잔에 여유를 아는 품격 있는 여자 밤이 오면 심장이 뜨거워지는 여자 그런 반전 있는 여자